Chapter 38. The loud banging at her front door made Maggie jump, spilling hot tea over the back of her hand. "Bugger and blast," she muttered, and rinsed it beneath the cold tap as the banging grew even more insistent. "I'll be there in a minute." Emma was at home with Declan, and Niall had stayed on at Castle Bar while Connor was held for further questioning. Seamus was unlikely to leave the hotel, nor Pádraig in the bad weather. That only left. "I might have known it'd be you," she said, when she opened the door to find Alex standing there. His clothes were soaked through, and he had a wild, urgent look about him. He didn't wait to be asked, but barged straight in, where he began to roam through the downstairs rooms. "What the? Hey, hold up a minute there, lad. Niall isn't here if you're looking for him. He's on his way back from Castle Bar. He's taken the longer road, most likely, with the weather being as it is. I can make you a cup of tea if you want to wait." Alex was troubled. "It isn't him I'm looking for," he muttered. "Where's Emma?"
"She's at home, looking after Declan," Maggie said in confusion. "What can you want with her?"
"Is she on her own?" he asked, ignoring the question. Maggie nodded.
"As far as I know," she said. "Why?"
Gregory ran a hand over his face and came to a quick decision. "I need the truth from you, Maggie. I already know that on Friday nights you look after Declan. You usually have him on Saturday mornings too. But I need you to tell me where Niall goes."
"I don't,"
she began. "It's important." Something in his eyes must have convinced her.
"He goes to Alcoholics Anonymous," she said,
and was glad to get it off her chest.
"He didn't want anyone in Ballyfinney or Castle Bar to know, so he goes across to Galway instead. Sometimes Connor drives him down. Niall only told me last night. There'll be no more wine at my dinner table from now on, I can tell you that."
Gregory closed his eyes as the final piece slotted neatly into place. "Call him now, Maggie. Tell him he needs to go straight home."
"He's already on the road," she said. "That's where he'll be heading anyhow."
"Where do Emma and Niall live?" She gave the address to him, and seconds later he was heading for the door.
"Wait, where are you going? What's all this about?"
she demanded. "We need to get to Emma and Declan as quickly as we can." Maggie didn't need to be told twice. She shoved her feet into a pair of old slippers and grabbed her coat from the peg. "I'll drive," she said, and they hurried back out into the rain. Niall and Emma Byrne lived in a converted barn only a couple of streets away from the McArdle house. When Maggie's car pulled up outside, they found the curtains drawn at each of the windows. "Do you have a key?" Gregory asked, and was already out of the car before she'd pulled the handbrake.
"Yes, I've got one here,"
she said, hurrying around the other side of the car. "Try ringing the bell first." He rang the bell, and when there was no answer, hammered the painted wood with his fist.
"Dear God, you don't think—"
Gregory hammered again, harder this time. When there was still no answer, he peered through the letterbox to the dim hallway beyond, then stood back to allow Maggie to open the door. Once they were inside, Alex held up a protective hand to indicate she should stay well back. He cursed himself for not thinking to bring anything he could use as a weapon, before remembering that his words were his greatest weapon of all. "Be careful," he told her, and took his first step into the unknown. Around now, she'd be sitting on the sofa, smiling at something she'd read in her book while the light from the fire picked up the copper tone of her hair. It wasn't natural, of course, not anymore, but once it had been. Once. That was a funny word. Something had happened once, and they remembered being told never to repeat it to another living soul. But it was never just the once. It had been every week, then every other night. And it was always while the woman with the red hair read her romance stories on the sofa by the fire. Alex and Maggie made a full search of the downstairs, but found nothing. The lights were on,
nobody seemed to be home. She might have popped out somewhere with Declan, Maggie offered, but the sense of panic was rising sharply in her chest. It was not like Emma to take Declan anywhere so late.
I'll check upstairs, Gregory said.
Maggie followed behind him, and they mounted the creaking staircase with its gallery wall of family photographs, all carefully arranged in different sizes. We're a happy family, it screamed. At the top of the stairs, Alex checked every room until he came to the one at the end of the corridor. It was painted white, as they all were, and had a small hanging sign that said Declan in the shape of a dinosaur. It stood ajar, and they could see the swirling colours of the little boy's nightlight projected against the ceiling as it played a soft lullaby. Gregory's stomach trembled as he approached the doorway, never more afraid than he was then. Maggie's breath was coming in short pants as she fought to stay calm, and he deliberately angled his body so he would be the first to see whatever lay waiting for them. He pushed open the door. Declan lay sprawled on his bed, one arm hanging off the edge, his face turned into the pillow.
Oh, sweet Jesus,
Maggie cried out, and Alex ran inside to check for a pulse.
Is he dead? Oh, God, please, no.
He found a pulse, but it was thin. He's alive. Maggie sank to her knees and laid a shaking hand on her grandson's hair, murmuring a prayer of thanks.
Why isn't he waking up?
She asked and wiped the tears from her eyes with the back of her sleeve. I don't know, Gregory said honestly, still checking the boy's pulse against the watch on his wrist. He's breathing, but seems to be comatose. He may just be in a deep sleep. Is it hard to wake him usually?
No, never. Maggie replied. He's a light sleeper, as a rule.
It may be drug-induced, Gregory said. Sleeping pills, cough medicine, or something of that sort. That had been Kathy Jones's favorite medley, he recalled. The toxicology report following the death of her baby girl had eventually thrown up a cocktail of ingredients to make her permanently drowsy, usually found in high street cough medicine. Mix it with a soupçon of table salt, and you had quite a recipe for disaster. He looked down at the boy's sleeping body and felt something lift inside his heart. You could save some of them after all. I'll call an ambulance, he said. You stay with him and... He fell silent as he heard the sound of a key turning in the lock downstairs. He exchanged a glance with Maggie, who lifted her grandson in gentle arms and held him against her chest. If anyone had come to hurt him, they would need to get past her first.